Welcome all to the Tiny Gospel Radio Hour, brought to you live here by Poolsville Presbyterian Church, which is deep in the heart of Montgomery County, Maryland's Ag Reserve. I'm Pastor David, and I'll be hosting y'all for the next little while. We're going to do what we've been doing every week for the last little bit, which is listening to some good Jesus music, offering up some prayers, and centering us down in the grace and word of the gospel. And this week, we are feeling in particular the desire to get out and about a little bit, because it's easy to feel cooped up in the closed-in spaces of the world right now. So we're going to be taking a little gospel walk together this morning for an hour, just getting on up in the light of our souls, putting one foot in front of the other, and walking in the way of Jesus. So let's do a little bit of that in this time. But before we get to our formal worship, we got some announcements, which I'll read out for you all. I'll say howdy. Howdy, folks. As we announced last week, if you haven't been in touch with Monica about the junk band made of recycled materials, which will be arranging Marching in the Light of God, do so. Give her a holler, and it'll be an entertaining way to spend a time making music together. Beyond that, we've got other things to talk about. There's an announcement from Catherine Beliveau about flowers being available. We've got a successful flower sale, and there are a few extra plants that are offered up. So these are being offered to the congregation at a discounted price. Sold in little pots, and sales will support our mission programs. So rather than run through an extended list of each and every one of the plants available, I'd encourage you to take a look at your email, an email announcement containing what plants are available for sale, what flowers you might be able to beautify your house with. That's all been emailed out to the community. Take a good look at that and try to see what we've got available. So beyond that, we also have a couple things to look at. And this next week, we've got communion, and that'll be next Sunday. We're going to go ahead and be doing that much in the same way that we did Maundy Thursday. So this Wednesday I will be by the church from about 2 to 7. And if you want to come by, these are the lovely pre-sealed communion cups with wafer that are nice and sterile, haven't been touched by human hands in a very long time. And we'll be setting those out. Come pick those up if you need to, if you're not comfortable, just so long as we are all partaking together. This is fine, but if you've got stuff at home you can use, I'm sure it's more fine. So give that a chance. Obviously, if there are other announcements or other things to share, please feel free to email me or notify us of what you need to share with community. We'll make sure it gets out there. With that in mind, let's go ahead and listen to a little bit more music. We're going to continue our music this morning by listening to I Know He Holds My Hand, music by singer Alison Krauss, and we'll be listening to our own Bill and Jill McDonald sing it up for us. So let's open our hearts to hear that.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud there's the sun, it's always shining. There no tear will dim the eye, and the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who's tomorrow, and I know who holds my heart. Yes, I know who holds my hand.
That was Jill and Bill singing us, "I Know He Holds My Hand." And as we look today at our worship diorama, most of what you're seeing today is a collection of crosses. A little while back, worship elder Jane had asked folks to gather up and share crosses with us so that we could set up a whole bunch of crosses inside the manse so that it wouldn't look so barren. We could have a nice little display. And obviously, folks gave us a batch of crosses. There are still more in the manse, but this is a representative selection of those that we are bringing up for you, because we're not all stopping in on the manse right now. So for all of you who've contributed, thank you so much, and we are very much looking forward to the day we can set these out in our common spaces. But for now, our little worship diorama will be our common space. So with that in mind, and thanks to all who gave, let's reflect a little bit on the journey we're walking on right now. And let's reflect by going to our God in prayer. Let's have a prayer together. Loving and merciful God, where are our common places now? Where are those places we can share time and grace together? Where can we journey? Where can we find common ground with friends and neighbors and serendipitous strangers in this time? It's challenging now. Lord, it's challenging because of fear in a world that has closed in, and it's easy in that time to turn away from those in need, to forget those who aren't exactly us, who don't fit neatly in to the life that we have constructed as we shelter together and separately. In this world made so deeply now by fear, where can we find that place to sit and to listen and to grow and to laugh with one another? Help us find that place, Lord. because it seems, in some of these days, so far away. In Jesus' name, we ask this. Amen. Lord, as we remember your grace to us, remind us of your pardon, because we know who is in a position to condemn. Only Christ, and Christ lived for us, and Christ died for us, and Christ reigns in power for us. And we know in truth that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone, everything is fresh and new, and the good news of the gospel is what it has always been. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Let's turn our hearts now again to music. We're going to go back in time to 2017 and listen to the Poolsville Presbyterian Church Choir sing Followers of the Lamb. Let's open our ears and our hearts.
Oh, brethren, ain't you happy? Oh, brethren, ain't you happy? Oh, brethren, ain't you happy, ye followers of the Lamb? Oh, brethren, ain't you happy? Oh, brethren, ain't you happy? Oh, brethren, ain't you happy, ye followers of the Lamb? Sing on, dance on, followers of Emmanuel. Sing on, dance on, ye followers of the Lamb. Sing on, dance on, followers of Emmanuel. Sing on, dance on, ye followers of the Lamb.
Oh, sisters, ain't you happy? Oh, sisters, ain't you happy? Oh, sisters, ain't you happy, ye followers of the Lamb? Oh, sisters, ain't you happy? Oh, sisters, ain't you happy? Oh, sisters, ain't you happy, ye followers of the Lamb?
Oh, sing on, dance on, followers of Emmanuel. Oh, sing on, dance on, ye followers of the Lamb. Oh, sing on, dance on, followers of Emmanuel. Sing on, dance on, followers of the Lamb. Oh, I'm glad I am a Christian. I'm glad I am a Christian. I'm glad I am a Christian. Ye followers of the Lamb.
That was Followers of the Lamb and the Poolsville Presbyterian Church Choir. I'll now invite forward virtually Elder Alicia Thomas to give us our first two scripture readings for the day. Let's prepare ourselves to hear God's word.
The first reading is Psalm 116, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 19. I love the Lord, because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. The second reading is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during exile. You know that you were ransomed for the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God.
This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. And as we gather in this virtual space today, as we come together here through the miracle of Facebook Live, as with last week and for the weeks coming, the piece that I miss is the opportunity to do that good old children's message. But I also miss, as I'm sure the kids miss, seeing those worship buddies, those little stuffed animal guys at the front of the sanctuary, wending their way into little hands and working their way up front to the children's message. Those worship buddies that keep our kids entertained are now here with me, and each week we'll be featuring one. And the worship buddy that I'm featuring this week is this little guy. This little beanie baby dude is named, if you look at his back, Ty2K, because he's that old. Evidently, this is the one they released around Y2K, which, as we recall, was supposed to be this great catastrophic event. And, oh, Lord, they just had no idea back then. But this is Ty2K. Say hello to everyone. There he is, saying hello. And the other thing that we miss is every single week we have an opportunity to hear Jesus Loves Me. And so I'm out there looking for different versions of Jesus Loves Me that are available and copyright free. And the one I found this week, because we're talking about walking and taking journeys, a little bit of marching music. So in the event you have always wanted to hear Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, played by a marching Scottish bagpipe and drum crew, here we go. It's Jesus Loves Me, played as part of the Scarfa Highland Festival in 2014. So we could attempt this in our own worship, but I'm pretty sure it would shatter the windows and bring the roof down. So let's listen to this for a moment. Jesus Loves Me, a Scottish Highland March. Jesus Loves Me, as a Highland March. Let's now open our hearts and our minds a third time to the hearing of God's Word in Scripture. Today's third Scripture reading is drawn from Luke's Gospel. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. That's Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. Let's listen again for God's holy word. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all of the Scriptures. As they came near the village into which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the Scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Getting out and walking is just one of those things I need to do on a regular basis. It's always been a part of who I am, just getting out and stretching my legs, and it's a great thing to do for your health. Sure, it gets the body moving, it limbers up joints. Even a simple half hour of walking every day has positive benefits for cardiovascular health, and these days every little boost to our cardiovascular health is more than welcome. But the truth about walking is that it has more benefits than the purely physical. A good constitutional walk on a regular basis is also a necessary part of our spiritual well-being. And here I'm not talking about the specific discipline of walking meditations, in which you carefully regulate your breathing and attend to your pace each step, like counting off a bead on a rosary. It's not like that. I'm just talking about a go walk, just opening your door, saying, hey, look, it's nice out, or hey, it's raining, but I got an umbrella, and then just going for a ramble for a while. It does good things to the soul. And for me, a walk is like getting out and digging in the soil of my garden, or throwing a leg over my bike and taking a brisk spin, or that blessing of that perfect 15-minute nap in the mid-afternoon on a rainy day. A walk, a long walk, clears away the cobwebs of the mind. Just getting out and moving focuses you. If you're not sure about something, if you're struggling to figure out what to do, if you're wrestling with a sermon idea or trying to figure your way on the next step of where something you're writing is meant to go, a good walk is exactly what you need. And part of that's the fresh air, and part of that is moving your body as it was made to be moved, but it's just good to get out. And right now, it is especially doubly, triply, exponentially good to get out as you can. Just especially getting away now that we are all in our homes, from the din and the cry of our omnipresent, inescapable screens. If you're feeling penned in, if you feel your mind is confined, if you feel like your thinking's getting a little skewed by the strange, closed-up way of this peculiar time, there's an answer. Close that laptop, put your phone in your pocket, leave it there, open the door, and walk out of the door. Take a walk. But where to go, though? The challenge, of course, is I always like having a destination when I walk. I like having a goal. That's just the way I like to be. I don't wander aimlessly the way I might have done when I was younger. I like having a place to go, and that's hard now. I mean, my near daily walk to the grocery store to pick up odds and ends, ingredients for the evening meal, that doesn't happen anymore because I'm only shopping once a week and I'm getting so much stuff that I couldn't carry it back. And I used to regularly walk to the bank, but now I don't want to touch the ATM. And I can't go to the library because the library is closed, as my three now very long overdue library books remind me as they sit there by the door. I will never be happier to return a book as I will be when I finally walk those books back to the drop-off slot. Walking protocols have changed these days, and it's not just where we walk. It's also what we do when we encounter other human beings who are doing the same thing. We are both friendlier and less friendly. Less friendly in that the norm now is to very visibly, physically avoid any human being you see coming the other way. If you approach them, the right thing to do is to step to the other side of the road, which, you know, 3 months ago would have seemed very strange, and now, well, it's just polite. But it's also more friendly, because I find myself talking a little more, making sure to note and say hello, and maybe even starting a conversation from an appropriate social distance, which, you know, means something, because as an introvert, that's always a sign that something peculiar is going on. But people like to share story with one another, and if you're journeying the same path and sharing the same experiences, you want to talk about them. You want to talk about them even with strangers you encounter on the road. Like the stranger the two disciples encounter this morning in the gospel as they walk along that road to Emmaus. It wasn't a short walk. The journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus was a good solid 7 miles. But they needed to walk. They needed to be out. Because things around them were also weird. Those two disciples lived in a skewed, shifted, and uncertain time when people were hiding inside and afraid. Because Jesus had been their teacher, even if the two we hear of today weren't part of that inner circle. They had known of his death, which they understood. They had known of how he was oppressed and how he was crucified. But they'd also started to hear the stories that his body no longer lay in the tomb. Rumor was piled upon rumor, and the world around those two disciples as they walked was dark and full of whispers. And they weren't sure just what it was they should believe or do. As they walked along that Emmaus road, their hearts heavy with confusion, they were met by a stranger. A stranger who seemed, though he walked the same way as them, strangely ignorant of the events in Jerusalem, of the death of the one they had hoped was their Messiah. The stranger they meet, of course, is Jesus. As so often happens in these stories that the Gospels give us after the resurrections, Jesus here is hard to recognize. Something has confused the minds and the vision of those who experience Jesus after he's risen. That happens so often in the Gospels that it's a theme. We hear the story of Mary standing by the tomb, seeing someone she thinks is a gardener right there with her. Or we hear from John's Gospel of the disciples gone fishing again because that's what they knew, hearing a man and seeing a man they don't recognize shout out to them from the shore. Jesus, right there, appeared, yet in the form of a stranger, an unfamiliar face, but one on the same road. The stranger in today's gospel story walked with those two disciples and talked with those two disciples, as travelers on the same road do. And they were energized by their fear and confusion. They were filled with wild rumors, and they wondered aloud as they talked with this stranger, what does this mean? No one knows what's going on. To which the strange Jesus with them rolled his eyes, irritated at their fuddledness, and proceeded to talk to them about their Jesus in a way that showed those two walkers of the road that he knew everything about Christ. When they reached their destination at Emmaus, the stranger was ready to move on. That was not where he was going, but they begged him to stay as night was falling, stay with us and share a meal. And at that meal, the stranger broke bread, and suddenly the minds of the disciples were opened. At that moment, they suddenly saw him differently. At the breaking of bread, they remembered him, and their perception changed. And they realized all of a sudden who it was that was right there with them. We often, being human, have that challenge. When we are in uncertain places, everything becomes muddled in our heads, and we have trouble seeing what's important and what's real. And this time, in this time, we really do feel that. As we work our way through this pandemic, there's a danger that our vision of who others are and what our commitment is to them might be as confused as the vision of those disciples on that Emmaus road. Because the world around us is confusing now. We hear one story, we hear another different story, we read whispers and rumors and the gossip, gurgle, and churn of our culture, and we're not sure what to believe or how to think, to the point where it can muddle us all the way down to the heart of our faith. Do we, will we recognize Jesus as he walks with us through this time? There are places in our lives where we will have an opportunity to recognize him and to see how his call on our lives shapes how we are to live right now. Because, yeah, of course, things are an uncertain mess. But the Jesus to whom Luke's gospel bears witness today reminds us that what matters remains unchanged. Don't be foolish, he challenges the two disciples, because what matters has not changed. The gospel's teaching of compassion matters, or patience with one another matters, wisdom matters, caring for the stranger and the neighbor and the outcast matters. What doesn't? The siren song of self-interest, the allure of power, the whispering poison of conspiracists and professional gossips, those things have never mattered. Not if we are listening to what Jesus taught. As we walk through this strange time together in our twos and threes and little groups, that stranger Jesus is there walking with us, reminding us that though the world around us may feel unsettled and sprawling and clouded, our commitment as Christians to his rock-solid path of grace has not changed. And in this unsettled, confusing time that is one of the deepest and most gracious gifts of faith, as you journey this week, let your feet stand on that rock, and let that be so, for you and for me. Amen. As we think now about our journey together, let's listen to, we're going to listen to a little bit of Elvis. Listen to a little bit of Elvis Presley singing In the Garden. Let's open our hearts to this old good sound.
And he
with singing In the Garden. And just for fun, this last week we had General Presbyter, former General Presbyter of the National Capital Presbytery, the Reverend Dr. Wilson Gunn, who shared a video of exactly that same song being played. So I'm going to play a little snippet of what he offered up. The Reverend Dr. Wilson Gunn loves playing jazz and loves playing peculiar instruments, and so he played that same song on a saw, and our willingness to enjoy the stranger music out there. Here is the former General Presbyter of the National Capital Presbytery playing that very same song on a saw. Let's give it a listen, why don't we?
You ready?
Ready.
Was a musical saw played by Wilson Gunn. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, there is no way I am not going to include that in our worship. Given that it's apropos, too. So, many, many thanks to Wilson for offering that to all of us. I'd remind folks now that this is the time in our service where we remind folks that sustaining this ministry requires all of our gifts and contributions. And the easiest way to contribute is to go to www.poolprez.com. That's our website, www.poolprez.com. And at the bottom of the page, there's information on how to give to the church electronically. You can also mail a check to support this ministry to Poolsville Presbyterian Church, Post Office Box 68, Poolsville, Maryland 20837. That's Poolsville Presbyterian Church, P.O. Box 68, Poolsville, Maryland 20837. We'll now turn our hearts and our minds to the prayer, concerns, and joys of our world and our community. I'll virtually invite forward Elder Pam Mattis to offer up our prayers of the people for this week.
Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that you have given us an enduring hope, one which cannot disappoint us or mislead us. We thank you that through our faith in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ, you enter this into every believing heart and make new lives that have been torn apart by the darkness of this world. Lord, hear our prayer. We ask today, O God, for those who have lost hope, and for those who have never had it. Grant to us and to those we lift before you in our hearts a new and abiding vision of what you have done and what you are doing and what you will do to save and redeem your people and indeed the creation itself. Grant, O God, that all might see and believe and discover their purpose and the purpose of all that is and all that is yet to be. Lord, hear our prayer. This morning we lift before you, O God, all those who need your strength and healing, all those sick and depressed, or suffering from anxiety, those dealing with chronic health issues, those dealing with addictions, those going through a difficult time. Bill, and Jackie, Ms. Edwards, Kim Holmes, Elise, Sal Chavez, Susan Beyer, Gary, Jan, Roy, Annie, Walt, Noland, Wendy, Wid, Sue, Pat and her husband Stan, and those affected by or sick with the coronavirus, especially Tony and Deborah and Rick Normal Moyle's daughter, Lynn, Robert, and Priscilla. This morning we offer prayers for our world during this difficult time. May our leaders make wise decisions. A vaccine and a treatment be developed quickly for COVID-19. And may more tests be provided quickly. And may we heed advice from the experts. Finally, we pray for comfort and peace for those grieving the loss of a loved one, especially the family and friends of those who have died from COVID-19 and the family and friends of Steve Goodwin. And finally, we thank you for Jerry's new status of remission from cancer. Hallelujah. We bring all of this to you, O God, knowing that you are our hope and our salvation, a very present help in times of trouble, and the one whose purpose is to grant new and abundant life to us and our world. Praise be to your name. And now we are bold to offer together the prayer that your Son Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for that prayer, Pam. As we come closer to the conclusion of our service, we have a little bit more music to offer up. What we've got before us right now is, well, it's a mashup. It's a combination of a song called I Got Good News, Ezekiel Saw the Wheel, and Recorder that are choir was attempting this last week, and you always have a vision of what something's going to be like when you do it, and producing anything in this time is something of a challenge. So there was a definite vision for what this was going to sound like, and where...
Thank you, Reverend David, for leading us in worship, and thank you, the listener, for joining us. We are sorry that the broadcast ended before the service ended, but we had some technical difficulties with Facebook. We invite you to join us again here on Facebook Live next week at 10:30 a.m. We hope you have a safe week.